This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إذ القربى وينهى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. Today, inshallah, we're doing ayah number 90, and this ayah, it is full of lessons. There are a lot of things that we can learn from it. So that's why, inshallah, we're going to be talking just specifically about this ayah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who said about this ayah, Inna ajma'a ayatin fil Qur'an fi surat al-Nahl, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan al-ayah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that the ayah which combines everything, it is the most jami', the most inclusive ayah in the Qur'an, it is in Surah al-Nahl, and it is this one that I've just recited. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. So we're going to talk about the things that are mentioned in this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, ya'muru, he commands, he orders, bil adl, to be just, wal ihsan, and to do ihsan. And I'm going to go through all of these points individually, inshallah, and all that is associated with them. Wa ita'i dhil qurba, and to give to the relatives. Wa yanha, and he forbids, anil fahsha, from evil, wal munkar, and open sin, and wal baghi, transgression. Ya'idhukum, he advises you, la'allakum tadhakkaroon, so that you can take heed. So, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded three things and he forbade from three things. He commanded adl, he commanded ihsan, and he commanded to give to the relatives. And he forbade three things, which were fahsha, munkar, and baghi, which inshallah I'm going to talk about. So what is adl, first and foremost? Adl, literal translation is justice. Okay, so in all forms of life, a person is supposed to make justice with everything, whether it comes to relatives, whether it comes to a person who he's married to, husband, wife, even his children. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that you should be just between the children. One person came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, I want you to make dua for barakah because I gave one of my sons a gift. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did you give somebody else, the other son, the same gift? So he said, no, I didn't, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not make me a witness to dhulm, to oppression. So this is a very important lesson that we learn, because the reason that we have sibling rivalry and kids, brother and sister, brother and brother, sister and sister, they maybe don't like each other, is because their parents are giving priority to one over the other. So adl, even in this situation, is important. Adl as a leader, a person has to be just amongst his subordinates. And a person who is given any kind of responsible position, like a judge, imam, teacher, principal, justice is very important. The word justice, adl, is also termed as, in Urdu we use the word insaf. Okay? And this is an Arabic word. And the person who does insaf, he is known in Arabic as munsif. Munsif, in Urdu we use the same word, munsif mizaj. So, where is this word derived from? The word is from nisf. What does nisf mean? Nisf in Arabic means half. And a person who is doing insaf, he is basically equally dividing the two parties that he is doing justice between. So, he is making one half 50% and the other half 50%. Meaning he is not siding one way or the other. That's why insaf is called insaf. It is derived from this word nisf, half. He is basically splitting this justice between the middle of them, and he is being fair when he is giving his decision. So you have Adl in terms of the literal translation. And then you have Adl when it comes to one's own Iman. Okay, when a person, he is believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he is supposed to believe in him. This is Adl. Okay, we have previous nations, they did Ifrat and Tafrit in the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? The Israelites, the Bani Israel, the Jews, they insulted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many ways. And degraded the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by insulting him in many ways. So they went to one extreme. And the Christians, they went to another extreme, that they raised Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to a status of, na'udhu billah, God, the Son of God, or even equal to God himself by making him one of three or part of the Trinity. So Adl, our ummah, does Adl in this sense that it doesn't go to any extreme. Adl in the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we don't go to any extremes. And then there is, between shirk and tawheed, there is adl also. When a person, he is committing shirk, this is a form of dhulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem." Indeed, shirk is a huge dhulm. And the opposite of that, if a person is not doing dhulm in his belief, he is practicing tawheed, so he is not doing dhulm, he is actually doing adl. So this word adl, it is a very, very broad word, and it can be taken in so many different connotations, different meanings. That's why Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he said that this ayah, it combines a lot of things. Those people, they used to know their Arabic, and they were poets, and they used to engage in poetry, and that is why they recognized the power of this verse. So adl itself, it has so many meanings. Then the next word is ihsan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do ihsan. And this can be taken from many perspectives also. Ihsan when it comes to dealings with people. So there's one level which is called adl. Okay? And ihsan is the next level. Okay, so a person, he has been wronged by somebody. Okay? So he is allowed to take revenge from that person through the court of law, not by taking the law into his own hands, but another level is that a person is forgiving to the person and he does ihsan to him. So he is allowed to take revenge, but he forgives. Even in the case of murder, he is allowed to take revenge. He is allowed to get the murderer killed as revenge for killing his relative, his brother, his son, or whoever that person killed. But the next level up is to do ihsan. If somebody does bad to you, and you return good to them, this is ihsan. Otherwise, if somebody does good to you, then you do good back to them, this is basically, this would be a form of adl, this would be justice. But ihsan is when somebody doesn't do good to you, you do good to them. When somebody doesn't give you gifts, and you give them a gift. We have this attitude amongst many cultures that when we give gifts, especially at wedding times, we see what that person gave to our relatives or our children or our brother or our sister when we had the wedding. So according to that gift that they gave, we give the gift. Okay, this is very common in our culture, right? So this is not an Islamic attitude. We have to, and we should give a gift above and beyond what people give to us. Okay, so this comes under the level of ihsan. Another perspective of ihsan is ihsan in ibadah. Ihsan in ibadah means that you perfect your ibadah, and this is mentioned in a very famous hadith called Hadith Jibreel. When Jibreel alayhi salam came in the shape of a human, he asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam some questions. One of the questions was, "Mal ihsan?" What is ihsan? So the Prophet ﷺ responded by saying, "An ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tarahu fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak." That you should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are seeing him. Okay? And from a worldly perspective, You know, just imagine that you're working in your office and the boss is standing right over your shoulder. Okay? Is your level of work going to be completely focused or not? Okay? And are you going to fool around and check your Facebook or check your email when you're supposed to be working or not? No, you're not. We're not going to do that. Our focus is going to be completely on our work because the boss is standing right on our shoulder. But when it comes to worship, we completely lose sight of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us and He's in front of us. And we should be worshipping Allah as if we are actually seeing Him right in front of us. And if we cannot do that, at least imagine that He's watching us. When we do that, then our ibadah will get to the level of ihsan, the level of perfection. Another meaning of ihsan is ikhlas, sincerity. That a person has purity of intention, that he does things solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also another meaning of ihsan. So two things so far. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands adl, justice, and ihsan, doing good, wa ita idil qurba, and to the giving of the relatives. Okay, so many people, they don't understand that the giving to the relatives is actually to be given priority over non-relatives. Okay, we have to start with our own family before we give to other people. Okay, as the saying goes, charity begins at home. So, giving to your own relatives who are poor and needy, so much so that you can even give them your zakat. The only prohibition is that we cannot give zakat to our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents, children, grandchildren, and so on. Usul and furur. Otherwise, any other relative, we're even allowed to give them zakat if they're needy and if they are deserving recipients of zakat. And if not zakat, then of course, even in the form of gifts, hadaya, you should give tahadu, tahabu, as the Prophet ﷺ said, give gifts, your love will increase. You will love each other by giving gifts. Simple acts of giving, they increase a person's love. Another thing is about relatives, is that a person, because of his interaction with the relatives, there is always, you know, as we say in Urdu, you know, tu meme ho jati hai, right? We have always some kind of dispute with an aunt or an uncle or a brother or a cousin. So to overlook these difficulties that a person has with his relatives, it can become a little bit difficult. Well, you said this to me 5 years ago and I've not been able to take it out of my chest. I've not been able to stop thinking about it and I still feel something in my heart. So this happens usually with relatives. A stranger who comes to you and asks you for help, asks you for assistance, sometimes it's more easier to give to him because he's coming with a clean slate. You've never met the person before. He's never done anything bad to you before. So it's easier to give to him than that relative who gave you a hard time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions the relatives because of this issue that a person has to overlook all the hardships and the difficulty that a person goes through with his relatives and still do good to them. Okay, and the Prophet ﷺ also said that a person who gives in sadaqah, you know, he gives to the poor person or he sets a slave free or he donates to a masjid, different examples that the Prophet ﷺ gave. And he then said, and this is, I'm paraphrasing the hadith, that the best form of sadaqah is to spend on your own family. The best form of sadaqah is to spend on your own family. After spending on the family, after catering for their needs, then outside the house and giving to others should be then looked at. So three things, adl, ihsan, giving to the relatives, وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents from fahsha. Fahsha, according to the Mufassireen, is that type of sin that you try to keep secret. That type of sin that you try to keep secret. And some scholars, they limit the word fahsha to adultery and fornication. Okay, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned fahsha, and why the scholars specifically said zina and adultery and fornication, because when a person commits a sin, that the ill effect of that sin is limited to him for the most part. But when a person commits zina, this ill effect of that sin, it transgresses to other people. It transgresses to the person whose family, the woman that a person is committing zina with, her family is involved, they get hurt. Her father, her brothers, they get hurt. Okay? And now, if she's married, then her husband breaking up the marriage. And if a person makes a woman pregnant out of wedlock and she has a child, that child is coming into a society fatherless. And it's basically, if this thing spreads and becomes common, as it is in the West, we know it is common in the West, where the children do not even know who their parents are, then it becomes detrimental to the welfare of society. Society itself becomes corrupted because of this one sin. That's why the scholars have regarded the word fahsha as zina itself. And other scholars have said fahsha refers to that type of sin that a person keeps secret and he doesn't expose it to others. That's what fahsha is. And again, some scholars, they limit it to the sin of zina. Wal munkar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forbids people from munkar. And munkar is that type of sin that people do openly. Okay? That sin that people do openly. Fahsha, secretly. Al munkar, that type of sin which is done openly. And that's why when we say Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi al munkar, ordering people to do good and forbidding them from open sin. Okay? When sin becomes open, this is much more detrimental to society than sins which are done in secret. Okay, so why is that? Because when a person does a sin openly, he is actually encouraging others to follow me. A person dares others, I did it, now you do it too. So that's why munkar, evil that is done openly, it is such a bad thing. And that is why the issue of zina itself, going back to the last thing, when does it become punishable as an offense in the eyes of the law? When there are witnesses that see it happening. When a person, he falls so low and he stoops so low that he doesn't care that people are watching me, and witnesses see that act happening, in that situation, the punishment, the law of rajm, if the person is married, and 100 lashes if a person is unmarried, is implemented at that time. Otherwise, a person who does it behind closed doors, yes, it's still a major sin, but the shari'i punishment is not applied until it's done openly with four witnesses seeing it. So, munkar refers to that evil that is done openly. And we are responsible as the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ to make Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, ordering people to do good and forbidding them from open evil. Wal-baghi. Baghi refers to any type of dhulm. Any type of transgression is a form of dhulm. And again, this can have different levels too. Dhulm with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning having the wrong type of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhulm with the leadership, amir, disobeying the amir. Dhulm with one's own community, one's own family, one's own wife, one's own kids. So, baghi, transgression, it covers all of these types of things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us from this baghi, transgression. Ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises you so that you could take heed and you could take a lesson. So this ayah, beautiful ayah, covers many, many things. And it's one of those ayah that if you were just to implement that one ayah in your life, it would be sufficient for you to practice all of Islam. I'll just cover one more riwayah that is mentioned in the hadith, a very beautiful riwayah. It's mentioned that Ali ibn Abdul Malik ibn Umayr narrates from his father, who said that Aktham ibn Sayfi, who was a person from the leadership that was not from the tribe of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he found out about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he wanted to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and see what this Prophet was all about and the message that he was preaching. So people told him that you shouldn't go, you're the leader, send a couple of us and we will see what the situation is. So he sent two or three people. They came to him and they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, we are the messengers and the ambassadors of Akhtham ibn Sayfi, and he is asking you, man ant wa ma ant, who are you, what are you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, amma man ana fa ana Muhammad ibn Abdullah. As for who I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Wa amma ma ana, as for what I am, ana fa ana Abdullah wa rasuluh, I am the slave of Allah and his prophet. So then he recited to them this ayah that I've just done the tafsir of. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. They said, raddid 'alaina hadha al qawl, repeat that please, repeat this ayah please, repeat what you just said. Faraddada 'alayhim hatta hafizu, and he repeated it until they memorized it. Then they came to Akhtham, this leader of the tribe. They came to him. فَقَالَ أَبَا أَنْ يَرْفَعَ نَسَبَهُ. He didn't talk about his nasab. When we came to the Prophet Muhammad, he didn't talk about his nasab. People in those days, they used to say, I am the son of this and the son of that. He's the son of this. And my tribe goes all the way back to Fulan ibn Fulan. So, فَأَبَا أَنْ يَرْفَعَ نَسَبَهُ. He just said, I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I'm the son. I'm Muhammad. I'm the son of Abdullah. فَسَأَلْنَا عَنْ نَسَبِهِ فَوَجَدْنَاهُ زَاكِيَ النَّسَبِ. We asked him about his nasab, about his family tree, and we found that he has the most purest of family trees. وَسْطًا فِي مُضَرْ, and he is from the tribe of Mudhar originally. وَقَدْ رَمَا إِلَيْنَا بِكَلِمَاتٍ قَدْ سَمِعْنَاهَا. He presented some words to us, and we heard those words. فَلَمَّا سَمِعُهُنَّ أَكْثَمْ, obviously they recited that ayah to Akhtham, and when Akhtham heard this ayah, he said, إِنِّي أَرَاهُ يَأْمُرُ بِمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَيَنْهَى عَنْ مَلَاثِمِهَا فَكُونُوا فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرُ رُؤُوسًا وَلَا تَكُونُوا فِيهِ أَذْنَابًا. He said that in this ayah, I am seeing مَكَارِم الْأَخْلَاقِ, meaning the best of akhlaq I'm seeing in this one verse. So one verse was enough to move people's hearts in those days. And this ayah, it prevents people from the most evil acts. It is ordering people to have the best akhlaq, and it is preventing people from having the worst of akhlaq. So in this situation, he told his subordinates that in this situation, كُونُوا رُؤُوسًا, be the leadership in following this person. وَلَا تَكُونُ أَذْنَابًا. Adhnab, it refers to dhamb, means the tail of an animal. Don't be tails, meaning be at the forefront in following this person. Do not be tails, that like the back of an animal that you just follow along afterwards. Be at the forefront of following him. And this is, again, I'd like to reiterate how people used to just get moved by one ayah. We hear the whole Quran recited. We hear tafsir upon tafsir, and it doesn't move us. Disbelievers, they hear one verse, and it is enough for them to accept Islam, subhanAllah. So with this, inshallah, we finish. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.